All right, Acts chapter 17. And if we could please go to verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection." Heavenly Father, open our eyes now, I pray. Help us to hear your word. We thank you for it. Lord, we pray for our president. Lord, I pray that you'd protect him. Lord, give him guidance. I pray for our nation, for our senators, for our congressmen, for our state here. We pray for our governor, for the assembly members, and Lord, for the senators. And Lord, I pray for those that are in law enforcement. Lord, they have a heavy burden that they bear as well. But Lord, I pray very much right now for those that preach your word, that teach it, and also that support it and seek to live it. Lord, I pray that you'd be with thy people. Lord, speak to us in this day as we worship you, and give us strength and guidance as we hear not only this morning, but from your word tonight. Lord, I pray that your presence would be known and it would be acted on this morning. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. In 2003, we once again went to war with Iraq. I'm not here to discuss whether we should have or shouldn't have, but the fact of the matter is, we did. There was a tactic that America decided to use called shock and awe. And in fact, the crazy thing was, because of cameras that are around the world, and yes, even in Iraq, we were actually able to watch the bombs drop in Baghdad. When it comes to this shock and awe, there were bombs that were going off everywhere, military installations, government installations. They were warned before, get out of here because this is what we're going to hit. Now, the idea was this. The idea was to stun the Iraqi forces and the government so much that they would quickly become disoriented and powerless. That was the desire. You know, Satan does the same thing. You go to the Bible and you can see Satan embrace the same strategy. The best example is the man Job. In Job, we read that Satan, in one day, allowed by God to go after Job, he went after his family, he went after his fortune, he went after everything that he had. He just couldn't touch Job. In one day, he lost everything except his wife and his health. That was it. In one day. That's called shock and awe. Later on, we read this just several verses later. Satan came before God, and once again, God brought up Job, and Satan said, "Hey, you know something? You're protecting him." "All right," God says, "you can touch him, but you can't kill him." And like that, Job, after losing everything, is covered with boils. He is in absolute misery. And above all that, his wife comes and says, "Look, why don't you just curse God and die? Take your hymn books, would you please?" I want you to turn to hymn number 27. 27. We're not going to sing, but it's one of my favorite songs written by Martin Luther, of course in Germany first, translated here. But it spells out exactly how our enemy works. A mighty fortress, 27, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. By the way, don't you praise God for that? He never fails. Our helper, he amidst the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate on earth is not his equal. He's armed with cruel hate. There's a four-letter word that's being bantered about so much today. We're not talking about love anymore. We're talking about hate. You hate! No, you hate! No, you hate! And then we wind up having people that show the love of Christ. They're being blamed for hate. This is exactly what's going on through any means necessary. Satan is doing this. Satan is seeking, just like we did during the war in 2003, Satan is seeking by shock and awe, doing things like this to destabilize so that he can control a situation. By the way, he's working pretty hard at it, isn't he? I mean, if it's not Boston, it's Charlottesville, it's in New Orleans, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Using people, pitting people against person against person. You know, the wicked one, lust, he desires to overcome and enslave. By the way, he desires to overcome and enslave you. Don't you ever forget it. Satan is not sitting back on a Sunday morning. He is not sitting back on a Sunday morning and going, you know, I wish I could just do something. He has absolutely pulled out the stops. And friend, you might not think much of it, but there's going to come a time when you're going to feel the full force of it in this land. Yes, even in America, if the Lord tarries. We've got to think about this. We're going to see one of the greatest examples of overcoming that ploy. And it comes in the person of the Apostle Paul in a place called Athens. But before we get there, I want to list a few things about the wiles of the devil. I want to lay a groundwork, if we could please, not only for our time, but for the time of the Apostle Paul. Number one, our enemy has created battlefields. Our enemy has created battlefields. Number one is race. Listen, for millennia, people have fought over racial superiority. There's been a country that has attacked another country saying we're better than you are. It has been going on for thousands of years, and it will not be overcome. I don't care what anybody says in America. I don't care if it's the Reverend Al Sharpton. By the way, I've never heard him preach the gospel. I've never heard him say Jesus is the answer. He calls himself a reverend, but he's not a reverend of my Savior. Absolutely not. But listen, for millennia people have been doing this, and it will not be answered until Jesus Christ is come or Jesus Christ is trusted by a group of people. Wars have been fought over this, and they will continue to be fought. Today there's individuals, again, like him, that will do everything they can. They'll grab a microphone. They'll get in front of a camera. They'll do everything to play the race card. It keeps them in the news, and it keeps them getting on somebody's payroll. Number two, wealth. You know what? If someone gets rich, it's true. It can twist their heart. James chapter 2, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats. Others look to covet that wealth. They think that's their answer, and it's not. But the fact of the matter is, Satan takes wealth and he uses it as a battlefield. He gets people to talk about classes, the haves and the have-nots. Number three, Kenny, education. Education. To the Greeks, education really was God. I mean, to them, you know, if there was knowledge to have, you had to have it. And that has become what our nation has embraced. Simple knowledge. If you educate someone, everything's going to be fine. I remember when I was a kid hearing this, and I think somebody nailed it pretty good. It said, you take a boy that goes to a railroad car and tries to steal an apple and educate him, he'll come back and figure out a way to steal the whole railroad. All you did was educate him. You didn't change him in here. And then fourthly, a battlefield has been created in religion. Gods abound in our culture. And when I say gods, I'm talking little g. Gods abound in our culture just like they did in Paul's day. Satan has made sure religion abounds. It was true what his contemporary has said of Athens, that it was easier to meet a god on the main street of Athens than it was to meet a man. We have gods everywhere that we meet all the time. There are people that are worshiping the Virgin Mary or some other saint. By the way, some people are worshiping the god of the Force. I guarantee you that that phrase, the Force, from the Star Wars series, one day will come back and be used of the wicked one to introduce something other than God in a great way. I'll guarantee you. But then there's Joseph Smith, there's evolution, there's Buddha, there's Allah, and so many more. Those who truly worship the God of heaven have been made by Paul in his day. Listen to this, what Paul told the church at Corinth. Being defamed, this is 1 Corinthians 4, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. There's a group known as the Southern Poverty Law Center. They are an absolute uber ultra left-wing organization that is absolutely given to making, among other people, and mainly God's people, haters. Do you know that they came out with a map, a hate map? I think the number is 917, they said, hate groups. Southern Poverty Law Center. You know who two of those groups are? Pacific Justice Institute, who we support. Brad Dacus couldn't believe it. You've got to be kidding me. Not only them, but also California Family Council. Greg Burt of California Family Council is a man that I work with at the Capitol. You know why they're considered hate groups? Because they support godly, God-given marriage. Period. Support things that are written in the Bible. So, what has taken place? Amongst others, Tim Cook of Apple. Tim Cook, this last Wednesday, gave $1 million to the Southern Poverty Law Center. And if you go on Apple's website right now, you go to iTunes, they have a place where you can go and you can donate money to the Southern Poverty Law Center. I'm telling you, now, this is going to be a shock. A couple of you might faint if you hear me say this. But I'm that close to saying I have purchased my last Apple product. But I'm telling you, this is so incredibly wicked. Why? Why? Because we are standing for godliness. Do you realize? Now, folks, listen. You've got to hear this out. Is everybody listening? According to their standard, every Bible-preaching church in America is a hate group. Now, did you hear that? We have enemies in high places that are waiting for the right time to say, it's time to deal with the churches. The time is coming. Are we going to be ready? Are we taking action right now, in fact? That's what part of this message is about. But this is what is taking place. Think of it. You know, in 2012, there was a man by the name of Floyd Corkins who walked into Family Research Council and shot the security guard because he took the map that Southern Poverty Law Center put together. He took the map and found where there were the quote-unquote hate groups. He actually carried a bag of Chick-fil-A sandwiches because he was going to, in his words, smear the sandwiches in the faces of the dead people that he killed. And so Brad Dacus and others, they're going, people are finding out right where they are. Listen, we can get threatened over this. The left doesn't care. By the way, it's God's people that are having to take extra precaution when it comes to security, including our own church. Including our own church. I've told Brad, a few minutes after our service starts, I want the doors locked up front. I don't want somebody walking in mid-service. Well, that sounds bad. No, listen, I'm thinking about you folks that can't see what's going on there. And there are other precautions that are taken as well. Not that anybody's trigger happy. Please don't misunderstand this. But I'm glad we've got a fence around this place. I hate it. I'm sad that that's taking place. But this is what's taking place. Our enemy has created battlefields. He has also crafted false solutions. For instance, race. What winds up taking place? Everybody is on a continuous guilt trip, perceiving any slight, anything at all. It's a not-so-subtle way to keep tensions in the culture. Why is it that when we had a black man as a president, race relations never got better? They were never supposed to be. It was never supposed to happen. This was a plan. It is a plan. And now what do we wind up having? We wind up having George Soros' rent-a-mob going around tearing down, you know, this statue and that statue. By the way, that's never going to do anything either. That is never going to do anything either. And by the way, can I say this just for anybody that might be watching on the internet? I personally believe George Soros needs to be arrested and tried for crimes against America. I absolutely believe it. And I also told somebody else this last week, I believe with all my heart that if he gets a chance, he would be the one that would introduce the Antichrist to the world. George Soros sees himself as a god, folks. Now, by the way, some of you say, okay, he went from religion to politics. No, I didn't. I have stayed right here in the book, right here. This is the battle. This is where it's taking place. But then there's also wealth. What's the enemy's solution? What's Satan's solution? Hey, take from the rich, give to the poor. Except it's kind of interesting. Some of those people that espouse that, they live in million-dollar homes. They fly on private jets. They don't have to go to Obamacare. It's interesting. But, you know, just spread it around. And all in the name of fairness, of course. Then there's education. I know what we do. We don't teach reading, writing, and arithmetic anymore. They have schools have wound up being indoctrination centers for social justice. Global government, global warming, all morality. The focus in schools used to be on character building. Those of you that are older, you know what I'm talking about. It used to be character building. Now it's social change, societal change. It's not look within yourself. It's look out there. You can make a difference. But the problem is there's a group of people that are pulling the strings. And so it has slowly come to this. I think we ought to listen to what Martin Luther said centuries ago. Quote, I am much afraid that the universities will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor and explaining the Holy Scriptures and engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not unceasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. Do you think it happened? Let me ask you, do you think you find a whole lot of God-fearing Bible-preaching staff at Harvard today? But that's exactly what they were started for. So is Yale, so is Princeton, and on and on and on. Folks, he's right. You take God out of education, and Satan loves a vacuum, and he's right there. This is what our enemy has done. He's crafted solutions. And in religion, oh man, listen. Do you know that everyone has chosen a Savior? Everyone. Through the blindness of hearts, they've chosen a Savior. It can be government. It can be themselves. But the fact of the matter is, the majority of the people have found the wrong Savior. It can be the salvation of works, social justice, Allah, wealth, Buddha, Hinduism, whatever, education, government, all that and more. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, listen, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Watch this. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Who is that? Who? That's Catholic Church. The vegetarian is what I'm talking about. Catholic Church, what I'm talking about there, Norm, is how they, remember, you know, fish on Friday? That's what that's talking about. I've got news for you. The Catholic Church is not our friend. The Catholic Church is not our friend. There are people that I'm on conference calls with. They're in the Catholic Church. Listen, they're not the enemy. But they see us as an enemy. Because we expose their religion. We do not get to heaven by works. Amen? It's the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so when you wind up having a church come along that tells its priests not to marry and tells people how to eat, listen, you got a problem. Galatians chapter 1, Paul was talking to the people in Galatia and he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that hath called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. You see, there's different words there. The word another. The Greek word behind the two of them. There's two that are used. One means another of a same kind. The other word means another of a different kind. There is no another of the same kind. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to the gospel, there's another of a different kind. He says, which is not another. It's not the same. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But you know what's great? God comes in. And he sees the battlefields that the enemy has brought our way. And he says, hey, I've got the answer. First of all, race. Acts 17:26. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. You know something, folks? There's no such thing as black, white, red, green, purple, or whatever. We're all different shades of brown. Get over it. We're humans. It's the human race. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. You know what was needed to do away with slavery? It wasn't a bunch of politicians and other people going around putting other people on guilt trip. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ that changed hearts, that says, you know what? This isn't right. You read the book of Philemon, one page, and you see how a man ran away from his master. He ran into Paul. Isn't it interesting how God works things? Paul led him to Christ, sent him back, and said, Philemon, you treat this young man as you would treat me. Boom! Done! No more slavery! He's a brother in Christ. You want God? He'll take it and he will clean it up. He'll take mankind. Mankind isn't going to be able to do it. But see, you give God race, he takes care of it. You give God wealth. Hey, listen, Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, does that mean we don't save money? No, it doesn't mean that. But we're not money hungry. We're not giving ourselves to the things of this world. Praise God, we're taking care of family. We're commanded to do that. But our wealth is mainly in Christ. 1 Timothy 6, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That's the answer. Hey, how about education? Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Can you imagine if America was still holding to the old Deluder Satan Act? How many of you have ever heard of the old, you've never heard of the old Deluder Satan Act? Raise your hand. You've never heard of the old Deluder Satan. You've never heard of it? I have failed. I'm serious. Raise your hand again. You've never heard of the old Deluder Satan Act? Oh, my soul. The first school that was established in America was established, you can read it in history, it was established to teach children to read so that they could read the Bible because of the old deluder Satan who would go around in mankind and seek to draw young souls from Jesus Christ. Look it up when you get home. The old deluder Satan Act. They voted, we're having a school. Why? Because children need to know how to read the Bible. Can you imagine if we were still putting government schools together? By the way, they voted. Tax money went into it. Tell John Dewey that. You know what's sad? Martin Luther was right. You pull God out of it, watch out. But tax money went into it. They established a school so that children could read, so they could know how to fight the devil. That's the old Deluder Satan Act. Hey, religion, what's God's answer to that? Here's the answer. There is no religion. Religion is man-made. You and I have a relationship. Romans 8, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We can look at the God of heaven and say, Daddy. That's what the word Abba means. Do you understand? Are we here together? Are we together right now? We together? This is what God has done for us. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are not just created beings. When Christ died for us, paid the penalty for our sin, rose again, we trusted Him, we became children of God. But the sad thing is this. Looking around today, any believer with any kind of spiritual sense realizes the Lord has placed us in a situation that demands more than just being a spectator. Here's the battlefield. This is Satan's solution. Praise God, here's God's solution. But now what do we do with that solution? I'd like for you to go back, if you would please, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I want you to see, first of all, the burden. The burden. It was the burden of Paul. Paul had been moved to Athens. He was waiting for friends to come get him. He was put there in part for safety's sake. But Paul, knowing Paul, he's looking around. He just doesn't sit in a corner and wait. So he's out amongst the crowd. He's out in the city. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Listen, stop right there. I want us to glean from this as much as we can. I want you to notice, first of all, that Paul was alone. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, I don't like being alone. Alone winds up, it can be depressing. My wife isn't feeling good today. She's not here. I don't like being without my wife. I just don't. I hate it. Don't tell her I said that. But I hate it. It's bad. But in the case of Paul, here was the tough thing. Paul was alone, and it left him vulnerable. It left him vulnerable to the attack of the devil, even the draw of the world. But here was the good thing. Paul was, he was focused like a laser. You know why? He had a heartbeat for the gospel. Folks, we cannot get past that. He loved the gospel. Here he was in the land of Aristotle. He was in the land of Plato. He was in the land of Socrates. But he's thinking Jesus Christ. He's not impressed with mankind. He's impressed with what the Lord has given him. So here's Athens. It's the center of philosophy, literally, of the world, the birthplace of democracy. It's a fascinating read. It was a university city with all the attitude that comes with it. There was the Parthenon, there was Mount Olympus, and multitudes of statues. Some say as many as over 1,400 gods in Athens. You see, Paul was alone, but he was not intimidated. By the way, we ought not be either. We don't have to be either. Instead, Paul was greatly affected. Look again at verse 16. His spirit was stirred. Why? When he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. You see that word stirred? It's a medical term. It means when your flesh and your spirit is roused to anger. That's what that word stirred means. Now, that doesn't mean that he was angry with the Athenians. He was angry at Satan. Why? Because he's the one that walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We talked about that last week. He was not angry with the Athenians. He was angry at Satan. He was angry at the wages of sin. Everywhere in Athens, he saw dead gods, immoral gods, gods that can do absolutely nothing for mankind. It's like Jeremiah, mine eye, when he wrote in Lamentations, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Can I ask you something? Are you stirred when you see wickedness? Is your heart, seriously, stop and think. Are you stirred when you see wickedness in our place and time. Once again, driving in this morning, there were homeless people. Homeless. You know why they wind up being homeless so many of the times? There's abuse at home, there's drugs, there's alcohol. You think God sent that stuff? Now please stop and consider it. Please stop and listen to this. This is what Satan has done. There are people that are flesh and blood, just like you and me. They are out there right now. They haven't lived in a house for years, some for decades. And all they have are handouts. Yes, they can get government money. And what do they spend that money on? You see what the devil has done? Does that get us angry? Hey, then you wind up with the news. I'm going to go out with Ed Fogle. He winds up at night going out getting these news stories. I'm going to go with him sometime. But I'll tell you what, in some ways, I'm not looking forward to it. Because I mean, there's some crazy stuff out there. I wonder why that attracts Ed. I don't know. He's just, you know. You know, yeah, exactly. You know, this is kind of interesting. But how much are you stirred? How much are you really stirred? You know, the fact of the matter is, folks, we are constantly passing by places that are dedicated to sending people to hell. We pass liquor stores dedicated to absolutely blinding somebody to the gospel. Just absolutely taking them out. Now we've got cannabis stores. Come January 5th, Californians can smoke recreationally. They can smoke marijuana. I hope and pray there's nobody here that gets caught into that. But you know something? It's not just that. We pass Catholic churches. We pass Mormon churches. We pass Kingdom Halls, all dedicated to this. The spreading of a false gospel that will send people to hell. We pass them all the time. Can I ask you, does that stir your heart? I hope and pray it does. Folks, listen, we've got to understand there's only two choices. There's only two places for mankind to go. Heaven, hell. That's real. That is absolutely real. Take your hymn books once again. I've got one more song that I want you to look up. Go to 463. 463. This is a song we sang when I was a kid. Listen to this. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand how? Dare to have a purpose firm. Dare to make it known. Many mighty men are lost, daring not to stand. Who for God hath been a host by joining Daniel's band? Many giants, great and tall, stalking through the land, headlong to the earth would fall if met by Daniel's band. Holding the gospel banner high, on to victory grand, Satan and his host defy, and shout for Daniel's band. Brother Green, Thursday night, I couldn't sleep. I'm trying to go to sleep, and something nailed me. Just something hit me. Starting tomorrow, for the next 4 weeks, Satan's minions are going to be doing everything they can to take our religious freedoms away. They're going to be doing everything they can to absolutely muddy the waters, to twist and turn. By the way, I hate to tell you, Norm, but moving someplace else, this stuff kind of winds up following you because it's California. Love you, buddy. I'm not giving you a hard time. But listen, This is what's going to be taking place there. And I got to thinking about this. And then I thought of Daniel. Where did Daniel pray? Where did he pray? What? On the patio? That's true. You know where his patio was? In the palace. You know where he had visions? In the palace. Government. Now, I've said it before, I'll say it again. One of our big problems is that we fear this. We praise God for how he created the family and how he created the local church, the body of Christ, but then we shut up when it comes to government. Now, I want to preach on the family, I want to preach on the church, and praise God for it. But it's just right now with this cultural crisis thing, we've got to do something, because I think when I say we, I mean collectively, not just you folks, but we Christians, we're not doing anything. And I thought, you know, this is what we need. Now hear me out, please, hear me out. I'm not going to be able, guys, I'm not going to be able to finish this message. We're going to have to save the other stuff for later on. I've got to put it in next week's message. I'm going to end with this. Where do I want to go with this? Oh yeah, okay. We talk about Daniel. We talk about standing alone. Let me ask you something. Do we believe in prayer like Daniel believed in prayer? Do we believe in prayer like the early church believed in prayer? I got thinking Thursday night, and I think it was about 11 o'clock that it hit me. I know what needs to be done. I know what needs to be done. For the next 4 weeks, every day, we need two people. One, if that's all there can be, but we need two people every day in the Capitol praying for 1 hour. Take one of these things. Take this. Go into a hallway. Go through it. Pray for the governor. Pray for the lieutenant governor. Pray for the senators. Pray for the assembly members. Pray for the others that are listed here. But pray for them. You know what our challenge is? And I'm, as a pastor, I'm guilty of this. We have taught people to sit. We have comfortable seats. You come, you sit. But there are other things to do. I've got news for you. That time has passed. In fact, it never should have come in the first place. But I thought, this is what I want. This is what I desire. Let's do this. And it's not just you. But if there's anybody that can volunteer to do this, do it. Go to the Capitol. Pray over the situation that we have, for instance, with AB 569. They want to put the nose in the tent in our ministries. We have tried to stir people up about this. In fact, I've got a bulletin insert. I forgot to put the bulletin insert in. I'll get it in this next week. But it's going to sail through sometime in the Senate. And then the governor most likely will sign it. We need to let him know that we don't want that. But what we need is prayer. You see, we have people come on Wednesday night because we believe in corporate prayer. It's not a thing of, it's okay, preacher, I'll stay home. I know what needs to be prayed for. Number one, no, you don't. Number two, we need to be here because if you go to the book of Acts, that's what you find. You find the church coming together in corporate prayer to pray, to storm the throne of grace. This is why we come together. So I put the word out. I did a video on it. I did written. I texted pastors all over the area. I got two vague responses. It tore my guts. I don't know what they've got going, but this was the really interesting thing. On Friday, I missed a phone call on my cell phone. I looked at it and said, Florida. Oh, somebody probably wanting to help me with my mortgage. And then it came up, they left a message. It was David Gibbs. Whoa, man, I'm dialing back. And it was, hey, how can I help you? I had called them a month ago. I had a burden. How do I stir people up? You know what David Gibbs told me? He said, here's our problem. And he's talking collectively, us Christians. He said, we don't pray until we're panicked. We don't pray until we're panicked. It's time not to panic, but to purpose. See, Daniel had a purpose. He purposed in his heart from the get-go, and he kept on purposing. So I'm going to ask any here that would volunteer, if you would do this, you don't need to see me. And you're not going to get arrested. They will not check your ID. You just take this thing. Go into the Capitol. You don't have to spend an hour. But folks, we've got to go into the belly of the beast. Planned Parenthood is there. Southern Poverty Law Center's minions are there. The SEIU, they're all there. It's time for God's people to go in and pray. Bring God into the Capitol through your prayer closet. And then knock on a couple of doors. It's all right. You know, they have to shower and shave and put on deodorant as well. They have bad days and good days too. They're human just like us. You might not talk to a senator or assembly person, but you can tell the receptionist sitting right there, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm looking for two people every day for the next 4 weeks to go down to the Capitol and spend an hour. If you can't spend an hour, spend a half hour. But I believe in prayer. Look at how much prayer is in the Bible. You have not because you what? And here's the sad thing. They're not taking anything from us. The people that see us as the enemy, they're not taking anything from us. We're giving it to them. It's time to stop. It's time to dare to be a Daniel. In the next 4 weeks, there's going to be things that are voted on that are horrendous. And those Christians that are there need to be prayed for. Right now, Satan is doing a little bit of shock and awe in California. It's time to bring some shock and awe to him. Can somebody say amen? This is what I'm fearful of. People wind up with an attitude, well, you know, just it's too late. No, it's not too late. It's not too late. Well, you know, the Bible says, the Bible doesn't say anything about us not having revival. And even if it wasn't going to happen, we do what's right no matter what. Daniel stood. And even though there was not revival, down the centuries, his testimony spoke. Why do you think the wise men came in the book of Matthew? Because the Messiah was going to be born. Where did they get that knowledge? They got it from Daniel and all his writings. It's time to do the job. God has put us in this place. He didn't put us in Podunk, Arkansas. He didn't put us anywhere. He put us in Sacramento, California, where the capital is. It's time to do a little bit of shock and awe. Paul looked around and he was grieved. And we will continue this next Sunday. But he was grieved. I challenge you, you go out here. If you're going out to eat, look around. Even as you drive out, look around. You can see the wages of sin. This is why we went out yesterday and we gave out the gospel. This is why we witnessed to people yesterday. Because this is our calling. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us as a church. Lord, sometimes it can seem so overwhelming, but Lord, it doesn't have to be. We're on the winning side. What we're just seeking to do now, Lord, is just by your grace, live out your will in our lives. This local church giving the gospel, seeking people, seeking lost souls, no matter who they are. Lord, I pray that you'd give us, Lord, courage, the boldness of a Daniel. Lord, I pray that you'd do your work. Lord, I don't know the hearts of people here this morning, but I do know that we need to be challenged. So Lord, help us to do that. Lord, help us by thy grace to make a difference because of our prayer closet. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.